Welcome in. Rick Windham as our co-host this morning as we go right to the KODY phone lines. State Senator Mike Groney joins us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Mike, and how was your weekend?
Good. Good. I wish we'd get a little closer to some fall weather. But
well, there's a little 2 inches
of rain.
Little touch of fall Saturday, but Sunday brought back some heat.
Yeah, more heat yesterday.
Beautiful rain, though. Not going to complain.
Yeah, much deserved on Thursday evening. Is that referring to, Senator?
Yes, it was great rain.
Yep.
Redistricting. The census numbers are in, and as we all suspected, rural Nebraska did not do well. We've lost too much population. While the state increased by 135,000 people, Lincoln County decreased by 1,612 folks. But because the increase statewide, then you divide it by 49 districts, the necessary numbers to, you know, to keep your boundary lines rose while ours dropped. So it looks like we're going to be in the mix. We won't lose Lincoln County, but I don't believe, because North Platte sits right in the middle of it, a major city. And part of the rules is they try to keep counties together, but we're going to have to, it's going to get ugly. We're going to have to absorb, they're going to have to draw the lines. We're going to have to get some of Dawson County, something around us, either Dawson or Custer or, you know, the ones around us, Logan, McPherson, Heat, Perkins is a, but then the problem is Perkins, District 44, which is Hughes, lost a huge bunch of population too. So did Erdmans, number 43, to the north of us. So did, to the west of us, and so did Brewers to the north. And Scotts Bluff County, where Centers is, which is Scotts Bluff and Gehring, is going to have to change too, because they lost, well, I could tell you, but Centers lost 2.4% of their population, or we lost 4.4. But he's Centers is still 3,900 and some citizens less than what the max is of 40,000 people. But anyway, and I'm not criticizing. I'm not using only reason I'm using senators' names, because they're just there for a short time, is because then you folks out there can kind of. I throw numbers out there. Nobody knows what the number
is. They know the representative of the district, perhaps better than the district
number. And
then
they know the area where they're from. So that's why I use names. But there's 16, well, there's 15 rural of the 49 lost population enough that they're going to have, boundary lines are going to have to be redrawn. And there's one urban one, Senator Hunt's, in inner Omaha, but that makes sense because it had no room to grow. It was populated as much as it could be, and grew in the fringes of Omaha and Nebraska. Well, then her average dropped at, of that district. But no, it's so I'm sitting here trying to get my two bits in, what I think would be the best way to add the District 42. And so I don't know what the answer is, because we want to keep every district we can in western Nebraska, but it's something's going to have to give. One of them's going to have to disappear because to keep the average down. Because you can't move people from Omaha to western Nebraska and count them as a district. It has to be adjacent territory. Anyway, we need to pick up the average. Let me start over. The average now is 40,030 people per district. When you divide the 1.9 some million people divided by 49, you can be 5% below or 5% above. We need to add 3,354 citizens to District 42 to be at the minimum. Because not only did we lose, we have the growth of the entire state rose the average of per district. So I'm not going to name counties or anything because I'm not going to what we'd have to take or be given, but it's going to be a major redraw of Western Nebraska on the redistricting in rural Nebraska. So, and I mean, it goes all the way up to northeast Nebraska. I mean, it's not just western Nebraska. It's the whole county and around Sioux City. It's rural Nebraska. It's southeast Nebraska. Senator Slamas is one of the districts, and that's, you know, Nebraska City, that area along the river. It's just the movement, you know. People wonder why I support the packing plant. We have to, folks. It's who we are, and we need jobs. I've always fought those in power, I mean, because their vision of what growth is and mine is different. They want to build houses out at the country club, out at the golf course, and to bring in empty nesters who've made their money and can buy a $300,000 house. I want to bring in the young family that's going to live here. That's why I did MicroTIF, because I knew the housing they could afford, which I'm going to try to improve that. And I also supported the packing plant because it's the best you could get for that industry, the way it's been designed and by local people. They're looking after the area, what they've done with the high pay and one shift and mechanizing and the system. And it fits us. We're not going to build a 10-story building and put a bunch of tech people in it. They're not going to move here.
A natural extension of our economy, I think, is the best way to put it, Senator Groney. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it is. It all goes together. It's what we're going to look at. That's what I understand is the companies that are looking at the rail park, and that's why I did the rail park, too, push so hard for it. We need families here. We don't need they're nice, bring the empty nesters and the retirees that are fleeing Colorado here, but that's not industry. That's not. They don't spend the money. They spend the money when they go to Paris.
They're welcome, but we just need more.
We need the people who spend their paycheck and send their kids to our schools. That's the focus it needs to be. That's how you grow. Anyway, because that's been extremely neglected. I talked to a group the other rural people. I said, too long we've been just agriculture. That's all. You send your senators down there, and they sit on the Transportation Committee, and they sit in the Ag Committee and the Natural Resource Committee, and they talk ag. Great, we got to have ag. But they talk about the property tax relief for ag. They talk about ethanol plants. They talk about weight limits on interstates and rural broadband for the big farmer who needs to run his equipment. That's fine. But we're getting less and less farmers, and they are getting more efficient, and we need to do that, but we need people out here in rural Nebraska representing us that look also for the people in North Platte and Ogallala and Broken Bow and all this emphasis on housing. You're getting the horse before the cart. You got to have the people first, you know, and that's what all this emphasis on the housing. When you lose 1,600 people, divide that before, that's 400 living units you don't need anymore in Lincoln County, and I don't even think the average family is four anymore. But we need affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We need affordable workforce housing, and that's why I did MicroTIF. That's what we're up against. So District 42 should grow. And it's going to be which district has to be eliminated and split those people up between the other districts to make sure everybody's up to that minimum of 5% from the average, which is 38,000, 30 citizens. I was hoping we could maintain, but we lost most of those citizens the first half of the decade. Most of the rural people did too. It was the first half. The economy turned around, you know, with higher prices and commodities, and we stabilized. But because I remember looking at these numbers 5 years ago when we were at 1,200 people or 13 already that we had lost. So, that's where we're at.
Now, Senator Groney, if you had to get out your crystal ball and predict the future, don't you think with some of the things we have going on in the county, we have a good chance of some of these things go through and other things perhaps throughout the next 10 years for the census numbers in 2030 to be a little more flattering for the area?
Yeah, I not personal pride in my district, but I think the hope of Western Nebraska is North Platte. Growth in North Platte. Because I wouldn't mind 10 years from now we had to give up some of North Lincoln County to some other because we were growing so big in our bigger populated areas along the interstate corridor. Ogallala's growing big time, I mean, because of the lake community. Houses are going up faster than they can, carpenters can get to them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, people escaping Colorado. But that's not real economic growth. Scotts Bluff, you know, that's another economic area. With the water situation in southwest Nebraska, I don't know how much growth they can do. But, you know, and also the whole interstate corridor, Cozad, Gothenburg, Lexington, that's the growth because where we have a chance to grow citizens with industry, and then we're right in the middle too. We're right in the middle of rural Nebraska, so that we could that growth could be used to sustain some more rural districts out here. That's my crystal ball. I just up, you know, I get upset, but when I seen senators like Stinner and Coldeman drinking wine and cheese with the Omaha Chamber of Commerce when we did economic growth. And not representing rural Nebraska. Now, I'm going to say Senator Williams has. He did the workforce housing, and he's tried with some of his efforts. But pushing all the economic incentives to the bigger companies in the East, I got frustrated, and that's why the other thing I did is I got the rural tier in 1107 just by meeting with the state chamber and telling me, well, you want enough votes to get this passed, you got to do something for rural Nebraska. Where we have a lower pay scale and the menial jobs, and you want to get the people off the couch and working, you get them jobs that their gifts and skill levels can don't blame them all for being lazy. The jobs that pay decent for their skill levels and aren't there. And that's the emphasis I tried to do. But on a rural tier, last I knew, there was 23 applicants for 8 different tiers, and 7 of them were rural, 30% of them. It's needed. And so anyway, no, I'm not just anti-government. I knew what I was doing in Lincoln. And I've been trying to grow the local economy while local economic development, people more worried about their piece of land that they real estate that they own that they could sell to business or catch the traffic going through Lincoln County on the interstate. And I was trying to focus on people who want to stay and live in Lincoln County. But anyway, that's where we're at. So it's going to be interesting.
Now, Senator Groney,
we could stay within the boundaries, but the growth was too big in the East, so we're going to have to expand our district boundaries.
Senator Groney, changing gears a little bit here. You were at the NPPD forum last Monday. As soon as they opened it up to public comment, you were the first one to speak. What are your thoughts on the heels of that forum, and were you pleased with the audience participation and everything that you saw?
I was glad to see the crowd. I was hoping what we talked about last week brought some people in. But that ties right in here. We can't afford to lose that plant. That has to stay here. It's the heart and soul of part of our economy. And they're talking about zero carbon emissions by 2050. That can't happen. It can't happen for economic reasons. Can't happen for who we are as Americans. We can't have rolling blackouts. I was told by one of the board members afterwards, he told me in meetings with those experts that were there, they told him, well, you know, in the future, people are just going to have to get used to rolling blackouts. That's what he said. Well, I don't think we can get used to that. You can't shut down power plants. Well, the power you can't shut down the packing plants if we have one. And by the way, how do you run the generator if you zero emissions? Can you have your own diesel generators? I don't think so. It's nuts. For the whole United States, but for Lincoln County and our area, we have to have that power plant. But that's why I was there, economic reasons, and just caring about my great-grandkids someday. Rolling blackouts in a modern society? No, this isn't Afghanistan. But some, I guess, want it. They want hardship. I don't know what that socialist mind is all about. I think I guess you could just put it in a dictionary. Socialism is bringing everybody down to your level. I don't know why else they want to do these things. But no, that's why I was there. And the participation was good. The survey results were wonderful. It's like I told them when I stood up, if you want to know why our survey results are, which are phony too, by the way, overall, but because we're talking about a county and a community that hauls coal, and largest classification yard in the world, and hauls more coal tonnage than many other tracks. And we most one of the top 3 to 5 rated yearly efficiency power plants, cost of burning fuel, cost-wise and cleanliness. So anyway, but what's wrong with those surveys is that when they go to Lincoln, when they went to Sutton, and they go to Kearney, the left is well organized. They get all these skulls full of mush, young college kids that haven't lived life, only learned from some idiot college professor who's never been outside. The only way they can exist mentally or functionally is competing with college kids' minds, because they couldn't do it in the real world with people their own age. Telling them all this crap about global warming and critical race theory and equality and socialism. And then they get them to go to those hearings and testify. I guess at the, where was the one, Norfolk, one, a young college student got up there and told them this was all racist. Burning fossil fuels was racist. Now, where that came from, I have no idea. And platted on and prattled on for about 10 minutes. I wouldn't have been very polite if I was running that meeting, but but that's what we're up against. And something's wrong with our society where we've flipped, where the younger generation, inexperienced, is running things. Running the streets, don't have any experience. The older folks who've lived it life and seen things are just sitting there and not fighting back and with rational thought, and we're just accepting it because we're afraid we're going to get yelled at. But just a little frustrated. I think we all are.
Now, speaking as a citizen of Lincoln County that was in attendance, Senator Groney, I was pretty pleased to see several of my elected officials in attendance, including yourself and several individuals from the city and the county.
Yes, mayor stood up and defended our, you know, defended our way of life and used a little common sense, you know. You know, technology, which I think he was hinting at, I hope I didn't read between the lines, and some others, was technology can go two ways. We can focus our technology to make fossil fuels cleaner and more efficient and use a lot of technology there, or we can try to go the other way and say, no, we're just going to dismiss this option and we're going to try to make windmills, which will never be. We can never control the wind or the sun, and focus all our energy and efforts on batteries, which, by the way, I don't know how you're going to charge all those batteries. I'd heard it took more energy than we got today to if everybody had an electric car. And then what do you do in the wintertime? I don't care what you do with a battery. You're going to have to heat the battery when it's minus 30 degrees because the battery loses its efficiency. And instead of going 300 or 500 miles on a charge, you go about 50. Those are all things they want to focus their energy on instead of making what we got And what I said, you know, also was it's stupid. Just because natural gas is still a fossil fuel, is about half the carbon emissions. We're burning up our great-great-grandkids' fuel, heating fuel. That is what it's there. I mean, that's its best use, to heat homes, to heat factories, not to have a 8-inch pipe blowing into a furnace and boiling water for electrical energy. That's what the coal's there for, and works more efficiently for BTU. But anyway, we can all have an opinion, and you know, it's what science is right. Is what we, a lot of folks stood up wisely and said. You know, we're, and I'd said it too. I mean, we're not ignorant people. We understand science. In fact, we know what an elementary table is, and we know how chemistry works. But some of us are old enough to see these Chicken Little scares before. I mean, we've seen it in the 70s when I was in college and school, high school, where we were going to have an ice age because of particulates in the air, similar to CO2, and that never happened, or they changed that theory. And then do you remember 1976 when Jimmy Carter was running, and he told us in 20 years, him and Carl Sagan, if anybody remembers him, said in 20 years we'd be out of fossil fuels, and we had to use, believe this or not, we had to use coal because it was such a plentiful supply, and we had to turn it in, liquefy it to run our vehicles. That was the science in 1976, not that far ago, by those who had believed in theories. And shale oil, remember that? We were going to squeeze it out of shale oil, not very efficient, but
shale
rocks
oil, yeah,
that had oil in it. But we've seen it all. And remember, folks, it used to be global warming, and that didn't sell. Well, no, let's go before that. Ozone, oxygen, the other gas of the life cycle was our problem because of ozone. A isotope, or whatever you want to call it, of oxygen. That was going to kill us. Too much oxygen.
You remember when the
ozone in the polars, and then it went to carbon dioxide. Now, what am I supposed to believe as a learned citizen, educated citizen? What am I supposed to believe?
Do you remember when the hole in the ozone layer was supposed to be so bad?
That's what I'm talking about. Ozone was the problem.
Yeah, we didn't even know how long that whole, quote, hole in the ozone had been there.
No, or if it ever was. I mean, yeah. And anyway, so but we do know historically, real science, that climate does change. That coal started from a unbelievably thick, lush rainforest. Turned into carbon after compressing in the earth. But after volcanic action buried it, which put more CO2 into the world, one volcano eruption than all the factories in the world can on a given day. But it's just, we're being driven by people who don't live in the real world. They live on college campuses where everything, life is close to utopia as can be. But because there's a lot of tax dollars to support it, that lifestyle. So we have a struggle, and we need people to step up. We need a strong candidate for an NPP board. That person on that NPP board, I'm not saying judgment on the person who holds it now, should be from Lincoln County. It should be from Lincoln County because an individual is a good person, but they're not strong voiced. Is somebody willing to step up and run? That has intellect to do it and a voice to do it. It's just common sense that we should try to have a candidate. Because major decisions are going to be made. And it's not going to be groany. My wife said I can't run for anything and don't give a paycheck. That's rule number one.
Anyway, oh, yeah, because you're making the big bucks now as a state senator.
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
That needs to change, too. I'm going to bring thing to put it on the ballot. That we got to raise the pay.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, because like it or not, everybody makes a living. Some of us are honest and just live on less than we could have if we would have spent 7 years of my life or 8 years of my life out in a free enterprise system. I'm going to be okay. But the point is, somebody's paying him, and we got too many senators being bought and paid for by lobby, by big money. They owe them. Why did we get corporate income tax cuts this last year? Because the senators make $12,000 a year. They got to get their money somewhere. Guess where they get it? Corporate America. And they got a corporate income tax cut. So of all you who say, no, you should be, we can't pay these jerks, well, you better pay them more, because you're going to get more of Adam Orfield's, who got $800,000 for his nonprofit from Susie Buffett. And he pays himself $100,000+ to run that Civic Nebraska. I could go on and list more. But who fights me on the exec committee? They don't want, it's conservative. I can't give myself a pay raise. Well, don't. Give it to the, put it down the road 2 to 4 years where the next generation of senators come in and pay.
Sure. Put a time cap on it where 6 years from now we change it or whatever.
Well, my version was that we give everybody half of what the Census Bureau says the family income in Nebraska is. It hovers around 50, 55,000. I don't know. Let's say it's 50, but it's more than that now. Well, a senator would get 25,000. And then if the economy goes to heck or we get another 9/11 and drops to 48,000, senator suffers just like the people did. It goes to 24,000.
Yep.
What I will not agree to is an automatic put it on cruise control where it tried and other things in our, well, we're broke on public schools because how we fund our schools is put on cruise control with automatic growth factors, needed or not. But anyway, but that we need it because too many folks I talk to, even the middle to higher income, don't want to do it. Because of the, it's going to cost them. Not only do you not break even, you lose money if you're in rural Nebraska going down. It takes your own money to do it.
That's what I was going to say, especially for the western Nebraska senators. But we do need to wrap up.
Yeah, well, rural, any rural up northeast Nebraska too. But anyway, no, that's we're jumping all over the place here. But there's a lot of variables here all playing into this problem. It's what we have in the state of Nebraska and where we're at. But anyway, all started with redistricting, and it all goes back to we need jobs. That's what economic used to be, not jumping, putting the cart before the horse and building houses for people who don't even have a job out here. Just that's foolishness. We wasted effort. I will give Gary Person, he's come around. We didn't see eye to eye, but he is working very hard on jobs. On jobs for the average worker. None of us are average. We all got our gifts. But some of us are better off working with our hands. And just because you wear a suit and tie don't make you better or more intelligent. It's just that you fit better in the system. But whatever. But we, and I really feel good about Lincoln County. I'm going to leave office in a year. And
absolutely.
I think the area's gotten. We've got some good people in the city council. We got good county commissioners, finally. I praised them. I called the county commissioner, a couple of them, and thanked them for turning down the hospital on their urgent care request to be taken off the tax roll.
Yeah.
That's absolutely, nothing will change there. Every company has bad debt. A certain percentage of income is uncollectible. All of a sudden, it gets bought by a hospital, and now that bad debt is charitable work? No.
Senator Groney, we do need to wrap up, sir, but as always, we do appreciate the time.
All right. Well, we're jumping all over, but there's a lot of topics that have come to the forehead here recently.
It's a good problem to have.
Well, some of it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. I will talk to you next week then, guys.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Yep.